We are on the air.
Wow, there's a lot of smiling faces out there.
Yay, in here.
We're happy people.
And introducing everybody, this is everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lord. We again give you praise and thanks for your goodness to each of us. We each have a testimony. Whether we know it or not, you're building a testimony in each one of us day by day. Actually, every day we have a testimony.
Yes.
And it's good to reflect on it, Father, because we know that you are faithful. And the fire, the presence of your Spirit lives within us when we speak forth that testimony. And I pray, Father, that you would light that fire in each of us tonight, Father.
Yes.
That you would meet us here, that your word would come alive to us, because this isn't just a book in front of us. This is the living document. This is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father, that it pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it's able to discern the thoughts, the intentions of the heart. Thank you for this word, Lord. It's a tree of life to them that hold fast to it. We give you praise and thanks. I thank you for each one here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, for those of you who are coming for the first time, we are in Malachi, chapter 3. And I think after I finish Malachi, I could start over again, because every time I read it, I see something else. But that's just the way the Word of God is. It's a gift that just keeps on giving.
Yes.
So we are in chapter 3, and I typically... We left off in verse 5. I typically reflect some and review some to help us weave one week into the other. We've talked about the priests and the attitude of the priests. Malachi is about 400 years before the advent of Christ. The people had come back from the being in captivity in Babylon about 100 years earlier, a little more than 100 years earlier. And they had come full of expectations of prophetic fulfillment, of blessings that would overtake them. And life didn't somehow work out as rosy as they had expected it to, or thought they should expect it to. Difficulties came their way. There were enemies. There were difficulties in raising crops. I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but life was tough. And sometime when life gets tough, what did they say? When the going gets tough,
tough get going.
But when if you're not tough, then what happens?
You can die.
Well, yeah. If the tough get going, the soft fall over. You know, Scripture says that the righteous, what, Pat?
Fall six times, but get up seven.
Or is it seven times and gets up eight? In any event, the righteous...
it's a lot.
It's close
right.
Enough. She's paid taxes.
Some are higher than others.
Different translations.
All right. King James has more.
Trying to stay on track here. Righteous fall seven times, gets up eight. We keep getting up. We keep pressing on for the prize, right? One thing I do, Paul said, I forget what lies behind it. Why? Because not because I want to be forgetful, but because I don't want my past to poison my future.
Right.
I want to have a pure look ahead to the plan God has for me. And if Satan can trouble me with my past and continually accuse me of my past, I won't press on, and I'll get a perverted view of God. Think about that. I'll have a poisoned view of God. And I want to start tonight just by reviewing quickly Matthew 25, parable that we discussed last week, and I am going to go through it very quickly because we've already talked about it once. But the parable found by the Lord spoken by the Lord in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. It's one that you all know. Speaking of the kingdom of God, Jesus said, it is like a man about to go on a journey. He calls his own slaves and entrusts his possessions to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two, and to the other one, each according to his own ability. So he knew their abilities. Consider that. He knew their abilities. He knows those who are his. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. And I picked up on the word immediately. Didn't hesitate. Good sign. You get to work doing that which you're told to do. In the same manner, the one who received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after after a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought the 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. Master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So the one who had 5 and the one who got 2, also, they both received a reward. And I'm assuming an equal reward. He didn't distinguish to it, I'll put you in charge of many things. And the one the one who received 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. What's my point in repeating this? One, just to show you again that the one who received 5 and the one who received 2 received the same reward. God knows your talents, just like this parable speaks of this landowner. He knows what the plan that he has for you. He knows what he put into you. And he gave you 5 and he gave you 2 because he doesn't want to give you more than you can handle. He doesn't want to give any of us more than we can handle.
Right.
And you get things that you can work with because God doesn't want to leave you unequipped. He doesn't call you to leave you. He equips those he calls. But this third one, he didn't do anything. He buried it. Why? Because I knew you, Master, to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master said to him, You wicked slave, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I didn't sow, and gather where I have scattered no seed, but you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given. I'll come back to that in a minute. He knew his master to be a harsh man, reaping where he didn't sow. Now, how does that fit with the kingdom of heaven? How does that work in our parable? Anybody want to? Don't all shout each other down. You understand my question? If we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, why are we saying that, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow?
Well, the master agrees with them that he did indeed reap where he didn't sow.
Does he?
Yeah, further up, further down.
Yeah, what does it say?
It says, I did indeed, or something like that. We read it just last week, anyway. But
you're reading the paraphrased edition?
I don't know.
No.
But anyway, he's not a harsh man. He's fair, and he judges wisely.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the man that only had the 1 talent. Not only did he not have much talent, but he didn't use it wisely. He was not using wisdom, and he was putting down the master who is faithful and true and all good things.
Amen. Everything you say is true. But note a couple of things, and I think it's important, and we will move on, but understand the master knew that he knew his men. He entrusted his possessions to them. He gave 1 5 because he knew that one would be good with 5. This one I'll give 2. He's doing okay, but his faith is growing. This last one, I'm going to give him something. Because everybody should have a chance. God's not going to leave anybody empty-handed. But I already know that he's had some difficulties with being my servant. I'm going to give him one, and let's see what he can do with the one. And he comes back, and sure enough, the guy with the five got him five more. That's terrific. The one with two proved himself faithful. The third one, instead of giving a reason, he accuses his master. There are people who have a walk with God that's right on. It's biblically based. They press in prayer. They pray. They fast. They give. They're bearing fruit for the kingdom. And God blesses them and blesses the work of their hands, and they make disciples. They bring fruit. They bring blessing to the kingdom. Do you suppose that there are others out there who claim to be Christians who have a different view of God than you do?
Certainly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
They may know God to be a harsh taskmaster. They may know God to be the God of wrath. They may know God to... I prayed once, nothing happened. They don't entrust anything. They don't put any faith on the line to God, because God doesn't live up to their expectations. They need a God who's going to help them out of the hole. Lord, I'm in this bind. I need you to get me out. And quick. And God doesn't get them out, we're saying. We'll say. And so their view of God gets poisoned. It gets perverted. When God doesn't answer in someone's timetable, this is what I need you to do, God. This is how I need you to do it, and you better do it by next Tuesday, because I'm in trouble for whatever they've done. God doesn't work according to our timetable, and the events of life can bring our way of thinking to have a view of God that's totally wrong. Mm-hmm. If you believe that God is gracious and merciful, you'll act in accordance with your faith. But if you believe God is harsh, you're just going to fold your hands and say, I don't really care. You know, maybe I'll come to church every Sunday. I'll put $5 in the plate when it comes by. But I'm going to sit here with my arms folded, because I don't get much from God. Why should I give him very much? Do you see how that fits into Malachi? Do you see the attitude of the priests? We're going to talk more about the priests and the common people. They didn't give God any space. They didn't give him, they didn't take the time to meditate on his ways and consider his ways and understand that God doesn't work for me. God doesn't work for you. Last I looked, you're his servant, right?
Yeah.
We treat him like we're the master, and he's got to do what we ask him to do. That's a wrong view of God.
Right.
I was just going to say the first two had faith and the third one had fear. Mm. He said, I was afraid. And he believed the lie that his master was a hard man harvesting, because he was believing a lie.
He was believing a lie. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But for everyone who has, shall more be given. And he will have an abundance. But the one who does not have, even what he does have, will be taken away. Is God talking about money?
No. Faith.
One who has faith, more faith will be given to him. The one who's shaky faith, it's just going to crumble when the testing comes. Yes, ma'am.
So maybe this is my misunderstanding, because I have more than one Bible that I go through. This is verse 26 of Matthew 25. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. See, so it's a misunderstanding of the way it's said.
That's true.
No. No, not at all.
Rodaby. No, what he is repeating, what he's doing is he's repeating to the man what he heard. Oh, you knew me to be this kind of man. You knew me to be this kind of person. He's not saying I am.
Right.
He's acknowledging that's the way this man knew him.
Okay.
He's simply acknowledging what the man said. He's repeating to him what the man said to him. But he's never saying, I am that way.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you knew me to be this way, and that's what you did?
So he's making him responsible for his own life.
That's right. You should have at least, even if you knew me that way, you should have put my money in the bank, at the very least. It wouldn't have taken you anything to do that. You would have gotten a little bit of interest there. You didn't even have the courtesy to do that.
Can
Beyond
you
faith.
Elaborate on reaping where he doesn't sow. Can you elaborate on that?
You're the one who raised the point. Well, he knows God that God will reaping where he doesn't sow. That he knows God. God provides from his abundance, the abundance of his storehouse, but he only provides blessings to those who trust him. So if you're not sowing faith, you can't reap anything from God. You've got to put forth some faith, even when you don't see it, because faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So you have to put something out there by faith. And faith always says, Gene, you go first.